Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family for 12 months from date of purchase. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Summer has officially begun, and Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need for your next outdoor adventure. Whether it's a simple camp out in the backyard or a day hiking in the canyon, are you ready for some great fishing? Sportsman's Warehouse has all the rods, reels, baits, and nets you need for success. And hunting season will be here before you know it. The best part is that at Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find all the experts who are passionate about what they do, and they'll get you just what you need. Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, Turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious, and all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world? Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Devin Chavez joins us once again with Utah State Parks and Recreation. Thank you so much for joining us around the campfire.
Happy to be warm and with you, Brian, around this campfire. It's been a while, and I'm happy to be back.
We're glad to have you with us. I know you've been crazy busy. In fact, I know you're just coming back north from the St. George area.
Absolutely. It's been very, very busy. No matter where you're at in Utah right now, I'm sure that everyone knows that outdoor recreation season is in full swing. Heat or no heat, people are out and about, and thankfully I was one of them recently. I spent the weekend working down in the southern area of the state, so I was over at Sand Hollow, Quail Creek, doing some fun things with some employees down there, and watching all the good work that our staff are doing out there across the state is just awesome to see. So it gets me out of the office sometimes, and just reminds me of the beauty that I get to be a part of out there. It's just awesome, both as a recreator and as a worker.
Agreed 100%. In fact, just before we started talking on the air here, we were talking about the growth in Utah State Parks, how amazing it is, how much fun it is. In fact, Sand Hollow, you've got some new changes there, too, that are improving opportunities for folks after dark.
Absolutely, yeah. Sand Hollow is one of those ones that I know people always talk about it. They think that Sand Hollow is kind of like the party reservoir. It's the Jordanelle of southern Utah is what a lot of people kind of consider it. But recently, Sand Hollow started branching out and offering even more for the visitors down there. You might not necessarily have a jet boat or jet skis or anything like that. Or maybe you do and you're looking for another way to experience Sand Hollow. There's a new ranger down there, Ranger Carly out of Sand Hollow State Park. And she has started revamping the programming, the interpretation programming for Sand Hollow State Park. So a lot of the programs and events that you've seen at parks like Snow Canyon State Park, for example, or Fremont Indian State Park Museum, you're going to start seeing at Sand Hollow State Park. And some of those include things like full moon hikes, scorpion safaris, and even moonlight kayak tours.
When it gets triple digits, both in the northern and the southern parts of the state, the best time to enjoy the day is after the sun sets.
I know we've talked about it before, Brian, but in my opinion, it takes a park that you might be completely familiar with if you've been to really any park, but like parks like Dead Horse, Fremont, even Jordanelle or East Canyon. You've been there so many times, and then even if you're camping, when it gets dark, you do the campfire, and then you go inside your tent or your cabin or your yurt. But one thing that you don't often do is sit outside in the dark without the light, without the campfire, and just take time either in a group at one of these star parties or even by yourself to just look up. I know it sounds simple, but it really does put a lot of the world in perspective and offers just a new way to experience these natural resources.
If you catch it on a good night when there's a meteor shower overhead, that's just fantastic. If you catch it any night when there's a little less cloud cover, see the Milky Way light up like it does, it's almost surreal.
And what's great, too, is you mentioned meteor showers. If there's an event like a meteor shower or a full or partial eclipse or a blood moon or anything like that, a lot of our parks actually use those as opportunities to host some of these events. So if you're just at a park at a regular dark night and there's not a program, you know what you can do because you've been to some of these previous programs before. And if there's a big event, like a Perseid meteor shower or a full moon hike or something like that, you can utilize these bigger events to kind of get out and about. So it's a win-win, whether you're there in a group setting or just a personal setting yourself in the sky.
I like your safaris for the scorpions after dark. Before we picked up a couple of these black lights, I couldn't believe how many were out there. I mean, you start looking around and they just stand out once you put that light on them.
It always is so fun to see people's initial reaction to their first time on a scorpion safari, to where it actually glows like something out of a movie, like a Mars space movie or something. People don't expect them to just pop out. And what's so great is that those are an awesome way to experience the darkness of Utah without even having to look up. In this case, you're looking down, right? And there's so many different parks that offer these types of programs. Everywhere from Santalo State Park now, like we were mentioning, but you can still go to Goblin Valley. If you're in central Utah, I know that Fremont does them a lot. I think even just over the next month or two, in between them and Antelope Island and everywhere else, we're planning on hosting, I think, about a dozen just in the next month.
It amazed me first couple times we did that. I mean, you put your regular flashlight on, you can't see them almost. They blend so well into the background. And then you put the other light on, and man, they just pop. It was just amazing.
Now, I will tell you that if you have a little bit of a phobia for bugs or things like to creep or crawl, that might not be the best thing for to put on and just notice, oh, they're around me all the time. But I do know that for me, it was really eye-opening. Just like the stars, right? The stars are always there. We just need to find the right situations to be able to look up and experience them. Same is true for wildlife, whether it's a scorpion safari or one of our birding events. I know that some of our parks, like Bear Lake, for example, do full-on like critter tours, or Wasatch Mountain does the same thing. It just kind of shows you what's actually going on around you. Going out into nature, whether it be a state park, national park, forest service area, wherever you might be going, it's not the same every time. You could go to the same campsite even, and there's going to be differences. There's going to be different wildlife around you. The stars are going to be a different position. The weather's going to be slightly different. And that's what makes it so awesome, is that you get to kind of make each situation unique and your own.
One opportunity actually is really neat, and it's different every year. It's the big ride out to Antelope Island.
Oh, the Antelope Island by Moonlight bike ride, yes. And one that I'm actually really excited for, mainly because the themes every year. For those who haven't been, every Moonlight ride at Antelope Island has its own theme. Last year's, I believe, was Top Gun, if I'm not mistaken. So you got to go out there and see everyone dressed up as their favorite pilot. You saw wings on bicycles and all sorts of fun, leather jackets and aviator glasses and what have you. So I can only imagine the types of costumes you're going to see out there.
I really like that one. That one's actually very family-friendly and very inviting. It's, again, after dark. They really do this event right. I mean, it maxes out every year almost.
Yes, and there still are tickets available if you are trying to go, probably even day of, but they do fill up very, very quickly. Keep in mind, it is under the moonlight, so you are on a bicycle out in the dark, and it's not a short ride by any means from the marina down to Fielding Gar Ranch and back, but my word, it is such a fun experience, especially if you're looking for a way to get out and have some fun with other like-minded outdoors individuals in an atmosphere that only comes once a year. I can't think of another event similar to this besides maybe like the Polar Plunge costume party that they have up at Bear Lake in January. You get that and you get this.
I like the way that they doll up their bikes, their rides with lights, and it's very fun. It's a very crazy crowd, but they love it, and they have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, and just keep in mind as well that because it is such a long ride, if you do decide to bring one of the little ones with you, if you decide to bring one of the kids with you, just be aware of their ability. We don't want anyone to go out there and end up having a bad time, whether that be an adult or a child. We do recommend that people can pull either the little cart behind the bicycle, or some people utilize the other carriers on there. You can use that. There are some children passenger registrations. And then if you have a child between the ages of 5 and 12, there is a child rider registration as well option. But just keep in mind and don't do anything outside of your ability. Only push yourself so far. I get that it's nighttime and it might be a little bit cooler out there, but you are still able to overexhaust yourself when it does feel colder out there.
Good advice. That's exactly right. And I don't think there's any law that you have to finish the ride either. I mean, when you're done, you're done.
You're in a costume anyway. They're not going to remember. They're not going to know who you are.
That's right.
You could be dressed as a witch or a scarecrow or a tin man.
Just have fun, and when you're done, you're done. It's good enough. It's kind of like when you go ice fishing, you know, when the kids get cold, you're done. You go home.
They decide. That's the decision maker right there, not whether the fish are caught yet.
I'm so excited about all the different opportunities after dark. I mean, there's star parties all summer long, too.
Yes, you'll find everything from full moon hikes to star parties. I know that some people might go out and they want that little extra. They want to know what they should be looking for. What are they actually looking at when it comes to looking at the stars? So some of our state parks, like Antelope Island State Park, just to keep it with the theme of Antelope by Moonlight, but multiple parks do partner with local astronomical societies. I know that Antelope Island partners with the Ogden Astronomical Society for stargazing for a lot of them. So they have filtered telescopes set up. If you don't have your own, you can come out. The day use fee that gets you into the park on a regular basis usually covers the star parties, unless it's mentioned that it doesn't, but most of the time it does. And you just get to have these star experts, for lack of a better term, but these astronomical societies sitting there and helping you understand exactly what you're looking at. It's not just you out there with a telescope going, yep, that's glowy something at the end of my telescope right there. No, we partner with these agencies and experts that can actually walk you through this.
I mean, it's really neat when you have an expert there to show you what type of scope you need to get to see what you want to see and how you want to do it. And it's a party. I mean, it's so neat when there's a group of a dozen or more scopes out there and everyone's trying to say, hey, take a look through this one. I've got Mars through this one, or I've got Saturn over here on this one. Take a look at this galaxy or whatever. It's really neat. And these guys are enthusiastic and they love it, and it's very infectious. It's so much fun.
Exactly. It's just like why people enjoy so many of our ranger-led hikes, for example. We all know that people that frequent state parks are avid hikers most of the time. We've all done specific hikes that we can think of in our heads a million times. But all of a sudden, you attach a ranger to one of these hikes, and it changes the whole experience. You're stopping along the way to look at a track that might be there, to look at a specific type of tree or leaf. There might be some birds that are flying by, and if you're up at Wasatch, for example, Ranger Kathy Donnell stopping, pointing out specific birds or things of that nature. Attaching an expert to a already popular outdoor activity just makes it that much better. So if you've done one of these hikes by yourself before, or been to a star party where you've brought in your own telescope before, going to one of these star parties where we partner with astronomical societies might be that little bit of better information that makes you appreciate the park and the program that much more.
What's neat also is some of these actual hikes, these after dark hikes or these moonlit hikes, oftentimes will include your pet.
Yes, that's very true. And the more the merrier. And in this case, it counts too.
Yeah, I have so much respect for you guys for creating these different opportunities and keeping them fresh all season long.
You know, we try and offer a little bit of everything at our parks. And I know that oftentimes, if you've gone to a park every summer or every spring or every May for your family reunion for years and years and years, you might think that you know everything about it. But again, there's always something that you can learn at all these places, because you've got to remember, we're all changing. And staffing changes at parks, too. And what one manager might have done for many, many years, you get a new park manager or a new ranger in there, might have a fantastic idea of something they could be doing at that park that hasn't been done before.
One thing I really have liked over the years are your concert series. A lot of these different parks will bring musicians in and provide you some great entertainment in the evenings.
Oh, I can think of the parties that they had out at Camp Floyd on either Day of the Cowboy or anything like that is always just an absolute blast. I know that Clay Shelley out there just has so much going on so often, whether it's a Pioneer Day celebration out there or, like you mentioned, Day of the Cowboy, anything like that. It's anything with live music. One of the fun ones that came back this year to Red Fleet State Park, actually. I know it's already been passed, but we had the grand opening of the new and improved Red Fleet, and it was part of Paddle Fest. And let me tell you, it was so awesome to be up there during Paddle Fest and the ribbon cutting that was a part of it last month to see how much life that can bring back to not only the park staff, but to the community as well.
And I like it when they're community partners. I know out in Huntington and some of these other places out that way, I mean, they're major partners of the community itself. And without their presence there, it'd be a much quieter locality.
One of the ones that I like that we partner with for Huntington, oh, I'd have to check and see if there's a date associated with it this year. But I know that every year for the last few years that they've done is drive-in movies at Huntington. They actually show on a blow-up screen near the water. And if you want, you can float in the water while you watch the movie. We've done that at Willard Bay before. We just did it at Red Fleet again. Keep your eyes open if you're in the Huntington area. Some parks like to show movies like Jaws, for example, if you have the floating in the water option.
I was just going to suggest that. It's a big anniversary year for Jaws, and floating in the water and watching Jaws, there's nothing like that.
Like I said, you can say you've experienced the park a million and a half ways, but I promise there's always something out there that you haven't thought of before that you could be doing.
I know Fremont Indian has done movies after dark as well over the years.
Exactly. They've done movies in the dark, and Fremont's also done some things like car shows as well.
Every park has its own little special nuances, its own special magic about them, and I love when they highlight these opportunities and bring those things together.
And I like it when the fun ones, like we're talking about, like the drive-in movies and things of that nature, but I also love it when parks take a little bit more of a serious note. And Fremont Indian, for example, Fremont Indian State Park hosts a number of fun events like the drive-in movies or the car shows, but events like a Parade of Rocks art tour where it's so different than something like a drive-in movie or a car show to where you're actually doing a tour and learning about the history of the area, the Fremont culture, the rock art that you can find nearby, and kind of bringing you back to earth in that point. So it's, like I said, a little bit of something for everybody. Go to Fremont for one of these rockout tours. You could go for an atl-atl throwing contest. You could go there for a car show and a drive-in movie. There's a little something for everybody.
One thing I've been quite impressed with is this summer I've noticed multiple opportunities if you wanted to learn to make your own drum.
A number of those have popped up. There was one at Fremont. I know the Edge of the Cedar State Park and Museum. Chris Hansen, the manager out there, has hosted a number of those as well. And that's actually something that I've done a couple times with Chris Hansen. My family has made drums for years, so I was very interested in seeing how Chris did it to see if it was the same way my grandpa does it. And I'll tell you what, you want to see some people that are actively engaged. It's staff at these museums because they're finding these unique ways to get people to come and experience their park. I mean, how many times can you think of a museum that does drum-making workshops or try and get visitor engagement? Oftentimes, that you see a lot of museums in the world, you go to the museum once, you look at the exhibits, and you don't go back. And what I credit our park managers at these museums with doing is finding ways to engage with people, having art tours, things like these drum-making workshops. I know that Gianni Julander out at Frontier Homestead in Cedar City always tries to partner with the community to do things like film shoots at the park, be parts of documentary series, partner with the local schools to get them out and hosting events at the park, having blacksmithing days or gold panning workshops, drum making workshops. It really helps history stay alive and come alive to these visitors that may have just gone to the museum once and said, oh, yep, that's a stagecoach right there at Fremont. Looks cool. Bye. And then you never hear from them again. But if you can get them actively engaged, just like with any other park, actively engaged and experiencing it, that's how you get people to care about it.
Well, that's what brings history to life. And that's what brings it to this age. And especially for little ones, I mean, it changes their whole perspective of what history is about. I mean, it's not that boring old dusty textbook. Suddenly they live it. I mean, a lot of these reenactment opportunities that come up throughout the year at Camp Floyd, for example. My goodness, my kids, they get immersed in these opportunities, and it changes the way they see history. And today, as adults, they see history very differently. They're very passionate about it, and they're actively seeking new opportunities. I mean, this is something that you really change their whole lifestyle when you include them in these types of opportunities when they grow up.
If you actually think about it, it's not that hard to put together these types of programs. And that's one of the things that's so awesome is that, yeah, a lot of hard work goes into the actual programming and things of that nature. But our parks and museums are so awesome. You brought up Camp Floyd. Obviously, the history of Camp Floyd is fantastic. Johnson's Adventure Army Camps, that where you can go and the kids can be a part of reenactment style events that are going on there, or the ever popular ghost hunts that you can do out at Camp Floyd or Fielding Gar Ranch or at Frontier Homestead, for example. I mean, these areas that have such rich history. You tell me a better way of getting kids engaged than musket reenactments and ghost hunts with history and all wait.
And these ghost hunts, by the way, you don't need to wait till October. They are actually underway right now if you catch the right night.
Oh, yep, and that's just another part of our after dark activities that we like to talk about. There's ghost hunts at all the parks I just mentioned, but probably the most popular ones would be the ones at Fielding Gar, Camp Floyd, and Frontier Homestead. They're just fantastic. I know that I think you've been on some, Brian, and I've been on some. I'll go to the grave believing that I've heard some things out at Camp Floyd before. Some of the ones I've been on.
That is so fun when that happens, isn't it? I mean, especially when you don't hear it, and then you play it back with an EVP.
And what you said is fantastic and true, in that you don't need to wait for Halloween season. They're happening right now. They happen year-round oftentimes. Granted, if it's wintertime at Antelope Island, for example, we might not be doing one out there. But the state's big and vast. There's plenty of things to do.
I know a lot of these big box stores officially started putting out their Halloween merchandise right after July 4th, which just passed. They are already out. I've already been bombed by Halloween ads already from some of the big box stores. So it's
Well, and I guess that is kind of a theme at Antelope Island now that I think about it. It is a wicked good time out there. So maybe Halloween just expanding its arm.
Take advantage of it early, and then you don't have to worry about the crowds as thick, and it's not as hard to get into those meeting opportunities if you wait till October.
That's true. And maybe I'll go as a park ranger this year.
I bet you could pull that off pretty easy. This is awesome. All righty then, let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Devin Chavez with Utah State Parks and Recreation. More fun than you can shake a stick at. Stick around, more fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio. Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities,
yes, bass fishing at Sand Hollow State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Ricky, my man. Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't going to catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you. That's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. He never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
Using the right colors will catch you more walleye. We're bringing out the tackle box next on Western Life Radio. Summer has officially begun, and Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need for your next outdoor adventure. From hiking to camping to shooting, ready for some fishing? Sportsman's Warehouse has all the rods, reels, baits, and nets you need for success. And hunting season will be here before you know it, so bring in your bows for free tune-ups. The best part of all is that at Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find knowledgeable people who are passionate about what they do, and they will get you just what you need. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
For the most cost-effective school safety solutions, look to FasterUtah.org.
Did you know that Utah's off-highway vehicle and personal watercraft youth education programs, required by law, are now online at www.stateparks.utah.gov? All youth must carry this certification while operating on Utah's waters or public lands. OHV education is required for youth aged to 15, and PWC education is required for youth aged 12 to 17.
Matching the prey will help improve your catch. Peter Milburn with Sportsman's Warehouse brings out the gear.
The other thing is just making sure you pick the right lure colors. If you're going to go up and fish at Willard Bay, you need to consider what the main primary forage is going to be for those fish in that lake, and that's going to be the gizzard shad that are in the lake. So you want your lures to mimic the color of the gizzard shad. Yeah, you can catch some on fire tiger and that kind of thing, but if you go with silvers, with maybe a little bit of orange on the belly and a blue back, those are going to be your better colors at Willard right now. And so you can go, you want to troll fairly quick with lipless crankbaits, a little bit slower if you're using a deep diving lipped crankbait. And the fishing has just been great. Just troll around until you find some fish and then can like concentrate on the areas where you notice you are catching some fish. You can go up to Willard right now and just have some awesome success catching wipers and walleye both. They've already spawned for the most part, and so the fry are starting to hatch. And so until the fry really start to hatch big time and you get big clouds of the fry, the fishing should be awesome at Willard. So I'd get up there in the next few weeks and take advantage of some of that opportunity that's going to be there. Starvation has been fishing really, really well the last month and should be fishing well throughout the summer for walleye.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Devin Chavez with us with Utah State Parks and Recreation. Pioneer Day is just right around the corner, too.
Yep, Pioneer Day, and a lot of our parks are extremely busy during those times because of the vacation time that they get to utilize at a lot of jobs here in the state. So before getting on the road, I think that's just a good plug, is whether it was the 4th of July holiday that we saw a while back or the 24th coming just around the corner or even just a busy three-day weekend on a Friday or a Saturday, remember to check park conditions before getting on the road.
Great advice. In fact, we want to remind folks to check for fire conditions and remind everyone that there are no fireworks allowed at our state parks.
Correct. And it's such a sad thing to have to engage with visitors in those types of conversations, because oftentimes I like to err on the side of the majority of our visitors do their best to respect the outdoors and these state parks. So I don't think that there's very many out there that are intentionally doing anything wrong, but what we really don't want is any type of fire set off by fireworks, whether it be intentional or non-intentional, the end result's still the same. So before getting on the road, always check for campfire restrictions, and please leave the fireworks for the appropriate areas. Our state parks, or really any outdoor recreation area, is not usually the place for such an activity.
We're seeing extremely dry conditions, not a lot of precipitation in the last couple of weeks now, and with the heat, things are just becoming tinder dry.
Yes, and it is important to note that as of the beginning of July, every state park in the state, every single one of them, is at least within stage one fire restrictions, which means that if your campsite at a state park does have a permanently constructed fire container, so a fire ring made of metal or concrete, a fire pit, whatever it might be, you can still utilize that for your campfire. But keep in mind that because of these dry conditions we're seeing and the increased wildfire risk that we're seeing, I mean, there's so many fires across the state right now already. Don't be surprised if some of these counties move to stage two, which would be no open fires. And again, we know that there's something magical about having the campfire at night, and that's why a lot of people love to go camping. That might be, if I say camping, it might be one of the first things people think of. But again, think of all the awesome events that you and I have talked about today, or really any time you and I have talked in the past. A lot of those don't necessarily have to involve a campfire. So whether you're doing a organized event or just going out yourself, maybe if you're within stage two fire restrictions, or if you just want to find something new to do at a park, leave the campfire for the next trip and spend some time going on a kayak tour under the moonlight. Go on a guided hike under the stars. Participate in a star party with one of the societies that we partner with.
I know a lot of people are asking in the back of their heads, when you say stage two, does that also include the propane fire pits that you can turn off and on with just a switch?
So if it is a park within stage two, if you have a device that utilizes things like pellets or gas, a gas stove, a fire pit, a grill, or anything like that, that has a shutoff valve, you can still utilize those.
I know that makes people a lot happier. Have that alternative there.
We just start really getting worried about things like flying embers or something like that.
Charcoal briquettes, for example, is one of those things.
Oh, yeah, briquettes are a big one, too, especially when you get kids poking around in them.
Those things don't turn off so easy. So, again, be careful with fires this year. Always check that. And where's the best place to check for those fire restrictions?
You can visit stateparks.utah.gov for any of the fire restrictions within our state parks. There is a fire restrictions webpage that we actually list out every single one of our parks on one table, and it lets you know what fire restriction is in place at which park, so you can use that to make your decision. Or if you're planning to go somewhere that's not a state park or see maybe every option that you have, you can visit utahfireinfo.gov, and they have all sorts of GIS maps on there. You can actually click on where you're wanting to go in the state and see what fire restrictions, if any, there are.
Sweet. I like that. I like that your website is actually a good trailhead for almost anything else that you want to find out about.
Yeah, we link to it right there. You could even go in the Utah Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands is a sister agency of ours here at the Division of State Parks, and we try to partner with them on a ton. A big thing that we've done with them in the past has involved campfire safety. So even when you can have a campfire with no restrictions in place at all, it's always important to remember that if it's too hot, you don't walk away from it. You don't drag things like chains, whether that's a blacktop or over rocks or anything like that, where you might be able to spark a wildfire of some sort. Parking your off-highway vehicles or even your regular passenger vehicles in any dry brush or anything like that when it's dry and hot out. A number of safety things that we've partnered with Forestry, Fire, and State Lands on them. The last thing anyone wants is to see their favorite outdoor recreation area, new or old, up in smoke. I can't think of very many things that would be as heartbreaking as that for an outdoor recreator.
One other really neat tool and opportunity there to find out are the water conditions in many of our reservoirs. I know a lot of our destinations here, especially during the heat, are these water destinations. In spite of it being a drought, as bad as the drought is, we still got okay water conditions at most of our parks.
Yeah, for right now, our water conditions, by and large, across the state are looking relatively good. As always, check before you go. Things can change pretty drastically sometimes, but the majority of our boat ramps, at least at state parks across the state, are open and ready for visitors as they usually would be. We don't have very many advisories out currently. And I believe the only closure is due to construction happening on one of the ramps. So there's really no concern on that end yet. But again, with how dry the state is and with water such an important resource, some of the areas that you might visit with your boat could become impacted. And it is also important to remember that this resource, this important vital resource to our state, while it is so fun to go out and kayak and swim and fish and boat and do all those wonderful things on, this is water that we use to drink, to bathe, to take care of our families, to grow our food, to feed our food. All of that all comes down to the water that's in these lakes and reservoirs. So while it is fantastic to use for recreational purposes, it also serves a purpose even greater than that, keeping us all alive. So please respect it if there are restrictions in place, and please utilize water appropriately in your own life. I know that we have the Utah Division of Water Resources and Water Rights for that, but it all is connected, especially here at DNR, so please utilize water responsibly.
Part of that, we also just want to remind folks once again to clean, drain, and dry their boats. We don't want to be moving aquatic invasive pests, whether it be mussels, whether it be plant material, whether it be anything else. Don't be moving them from water to water, because that will affect the water downstream.
Exactly. Especially something like invasive quagga mussels. And I can't thank the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources enough for their partnership. Take your mussel-aware boater course. Always clean, drain, and dry your boat. I mentioned how I was at Sand Hollow for quite a few days this week. I mean, not only is it the most popular reservoir park that we have in the system, but it's the most visited state park, period, within our system. And the staff there were so good about checking in with everybody with any type of watercraft coming through. But not only the staff, it was the visitors, too. I don't think I heard a single visitor complain or cause a fuss over asking questions about where the boat had been, had it been clean, drained, and dried, when it was the last decontamination station visit. And with the implementation of these new decontamination dip tanks that take some of these complicated boats that took quite a long time down to mere minutes, it's just been awesome to see not only the work that our staff are doing, but the work that the public's doing to help us keep Utah safe.
That's been a game changer. I've loved to see that infrastructure develop across the state. And we're getting better at it. This is really neat. Coming up just around the corner, early August, Military Appreciation Day.
Yes, every year we try to host Military Appreciation Day around the first or second weekend of August, and this year is no different. Military Appreciation Day is coming up and around the corner. And those of you who haven't participated in Military Appreciation Day, I advise you to get out and if someone in your family is active or retired military, or you want to go out and show support, all of our parks will offer free day use entry to any veteran or active military and their family in the same vehicle. And a number of our parks actually host special events, whether that be flag raising ceremonies, breakfast, 5Ks, things of that nature, to come and be a part of and honor these people that have served. A lot of people always ask us why we don't do it during Veterans Day or anything like that. But we find that this type of year, when all of our parks are open and there's no real weather concerns besides obviously making sure that you're wearing your sunblock and drinking your water, having it during August time is awesome.
I don't think anyone's going to complain about having too many opportunities to thank our military folks that have preserved our freedoms here.
Not a bad thing to visit a park in August instead of November, especially if depending on what area of the state you're in. So I've always found that Military Appreciation Day being in August is just as nice as, if not better than having an event in November where Veterans Day would fall.
I know in the past you've had an entire web page dedicated to this opportunity and what's going on at each location.
Exactly. As draws closer, that web page exists right now at stateparks.utah.gov/military. You can learn more about our Veterans with Disabilities Honor Pass or Military Appreciation Day. But as that event does draw closer, you'll see all of our individual park events. If they're having something special like a 5K, a pancake breakfast, a flag raising ceremony, anything like that, we'll also be listing it there.
Let's talk about the passes, by the way. The Honor Pass, I know a lot of people are wondering what that might be.
So the Veterans with Disabilities Honor Pass is available to any veteran who meet the following criteria. They got to be a Utah resident. They got to be honorably discharged from military service. And they need to have any service-related disability ratings. So really any percentage of disability. If you are also a Utah resident who was honorably discharged from the military, you have access to the Honor Pass from State Parks, which is just like our regular annual pass. It's offered for free to these individuals to utilize for that year. That gets you into any of our state parks that a traditional annual pass would get you into.
And is there a specific deadline you need to sign up, or is it year-round?
It's year-round. Each pass is only valid for the calendar year that it's in. And when you get a new benefits letter for next year, you can bring that letter in and get your new annual honor pass.
And for those of us that may not qualify for that, you also have opportunities for all of us to purchase a regular pass.
I love the annual pass so much, and I can't tell if it's because obviously I'm a little biased or if it's because I'm just such an avid outdoor recreator. But the deal that you get with an annual pass is just mind-boggling. And I know that a lot of people might think that $125 for an annual pass, that's a lot of money. But when you think about what that annual pass gets you, which is free day use after you get it to all of our wonderful state parks and all the programs that we've talked about, or even just going in to go fishing or paddleboarding for the day with friends and family, if you think about how much it costs to go bowling for a family of five or to go to the movies for one night, you've overspent over the amount of an annual pass right there. Not only that, but for those of you who haven't had an annual pass within the last 2 years, we now also allow two pass holders for one annual pass. So you could have yourself and your neighbor, yourself and your son, yourself and your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa, your friend, a cousin, whoever the other person might be. And one of you can utilize the pass as a card. And then we also have the ability to attach an annual pass to a phone via our Utah State Parks mobile app. So you could use the pass, Brian, at Sand Hollow, and if I'm the second pass holder who's signed on as the second pass holder, I could use the pass at the same time up at Jordanelle. So you're really getting two people access to the park.
I think that is incredible. I mean, that really adds a lot of value to the whole mix. I mean, that cuts the cost in half, and it doesn't take more than one or two visits to pay that off.
Exactly, and the memories that you're making are going to last a lifetime. I mean, if you go to a star party right there, and then the next month you go to a ranger-led hike, and then you go ghost hunting right there, I mean, that's all something that you can access with the annual pass.
Now, there are a couple limitations on the annual pass on a couple parks, correct?
Correct. So an annual pass does not get you access to, this is the place, Heritage Park, which is a park here in Salt Lake City. It is a wonderful and amazing park, but it's actually managed by another outside entity, the nonprofit called This Is the Place Foundation. So, of course, go visit This Is the Place. I go there probably about once every 2 months and very much enjoy myself. I walk the trails. I go get Brigham's Donuts. You know, I have a fantastic time. But the pass does not get you into there. And it also does not allow you track access to the Jordan River Off-Highway Vehicle Park, which is a OHV track. Well, there's multiple tracks, but you get what I'm saying, here in the Salt Lake County area. So that doesn't count for that, as well as access to our state golf courses. But other than that, there's 44 parks that it works at right there.
Well, in the past, it's also had some limitations on the causeway out to Antelope Island.
Oh, yes. But what we've actually been able to do now is you can add on a causeway option when you purchase the annual pass. So you can have either the causeway sticker that's been added on or even on your phone, so you don't have to pay the $2 every single time if you are an avid Antelope Island visitor.
I love that. That is a nice addition to it.
We try and make it as easy as possible for people.
Gun-free school zones make for soft targets for those who would do school violence. Utah schools are not soft targets, thanks to the education provided by FasterUtah.org.
Lightweight camp stoves will cook your cocoa in those high elevations.
We're packing for our next adventure next on Western Life Radio. Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year, and while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Lightweight camp stoves will warm your meals on any backpacking trip. Kim Swank with Sportsman's Warehouse brings out the gourmet meals.
A stove, that's one thing that's always in my backpack, something, and I like the lighter weight ones like your isobutane stoves, but there's your multi-fuel stoves as well that'll take like kerosene or your white gas. Those are really nice stoves as well. There's some things that are better on each stove. So your multi-fuel stoves, they burn a little bit better at higher altitudes and in colder weather. So if you're summiting a peak or something like that, you're above 10,000, maybe consider a stove like that. They're a little bit more bulky, but they definitely work better at those higher elevations and in the colder weather. I've used one here and there. I like them. They're a little bit more technical. You don't just turn it on. You got to sit and prep it, pump them. They'll come with a pump. And your isobutane stoves, the plus with those is they're light. They compact so small. Some of them will come with a plastic case that you can slide them in. And the fuel, on the fuel canisters, I'll give about 2 days on the smaller canister, and that's my safety cushion. I'm sure you could get more than that, but I've had to use one for a heater before just because we were hunting and it was so cold and we were kind of in bad shape, so I used it to heat us up a little bit, keep us warm. But yeah, your multi-fuel, they're pretty nice.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Summer has officially begun, and Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need for your next outdoor adventure. Whether it's a simple camp out in the backyard or a day hiking in the canyon, are you ready for some great fishing? Sportsman's Warehouse has all the rods, reels, baits, and nets you need for success. And hunting season will be here before you know it. The best part is that at Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find all the experts who are passionate about what they do, and they'll get you just what you need. Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud.
Invoked from the past. He's hunting and fishing and marching. bushes and mountains, discovering life in the backcountry wild, exploring the West with its treasures abounding, with the soul of a sportsman and heart of a child. Wild and free, the song of the mountains is calling to me.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.